All right, y'all doing all right this morning? Everybody stay up too late last night shooting fireworks and stuff like that? Maybe not. Anybody's ears hurting this morning from shooting fireworks? I just want y'all to know I had my second successful year of shooting fireworks without harm to myself or anyone else, besides maybe a little ear ringing just a little bit. Now, if you've been around New Life for a few years, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, then we can fill you in later on. What'd you say? There's a video to prove it, yeah. So, yeah. But anyways, the Lord's good. It's good that really that we can be together. I'm thankful for this gym and that, you know, we're a smaller congregation, so we're able to get together in here and assemble for worship. Woolly Springs Baptist Church is not having services again because of kind of several cases of COVID-19 in their congregation. So it's things like that that I have in mind when it comes to really encouraging us to be careful as we're together and refrain from shaking hands and things like that. Just really to protect us because we want to continue to gather as a church. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 again. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be back there this week. And I'm going to read for us verses 13 through 20 again. And we're going to reflect on this a little bit more this morning in our time together. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Everybody locate that and I'll read it out loud if you'd follow along with me. Everybody, try to hang tight this morning. I won't keep you too long today. And try to focus in on the Word. It's important that we're not passive listeners, but that we're active listeners. And active means that you're looking at the Scripture as we're working our way through there. If I ask you to turn somewhere, you can turn there real quick and try to follow along in the Bible. And our goal as we get together is to for me to try to teach you something from the Word of God, and as we learn together from the Word, we're growing more in the likeness of Christ. So it's making sure that our speech is right. Let me give you this example. Back a few years ago, one of the things that used to really drive me crazy, and I seldom see it now, but I do see it occasionally still, is young men, or really any age man, walking around with his pants down below his rear end. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This kind of makes you go crazy a little bit when you see that. Now, here's what we could do. I could see that individual and I could look at them and see them on the outside with the way that they're wearing their pants. And as a Christian, I know that I have an obligation to, if I have opportunity, to share the gospel with them. But boy, it really bothers me the way he's wearing his pants. So I'm going to go, let's say I go up to that individual and I begin to talk to him. And before I share the gospel with him, I start telling him how ridiculous he looks with his pants that way. And I start trying to understand, man, why do you wear your pants like that? Can you please explain that to me? Because it doesn't make any sense. Just pull it up. You'll be a lot more comfortable. You won't have to go around doing this all the time, keeping your pants up. Okay, and then after I've talked to him about that, then I share Jesus with him. Do you think that'd be speech that's seasoned with salt? Will that be answering every man in a good way? No, because the reality is, it doesn't matter how he's wearing his pants. The thing we as believers must do is seek to preach the gospel to them, and if he believes in Christ, then those other things are going to work itself out. You know what I'm saying? That's probably a really bad illustration. That's the one that came to mind. We can begin like Paul is maybe concerned about in 2 Corinthians, and we look at people on the outside and we fail to realize that Christ died for all. We judge no man according to the flesh, but we preach the gospel to all, knowing that Christ died for all. So we go in situations like that. It can be situations in your home dealing with your children. It can be in situations, conversations with spouses, with employers, employees, where we have opportunities to lace those conversations with the gospel of Christ, to sprinkle them with the gospel rather than to maybe seek our own agendas or our own feelings about something. Turning back to Matthew 5, we'll look at the second one in this light, where Jesus says here that you are the light of the world. Now, remember that the three most important rules for Bible interpretation are this: context, context, context. All right? Three most important rules for Bible interpretation: context, context, context. So we look at this passage and we see that Jesus here is talking about these Pharisees and their righteousness and the light that we are called to be. And if we are that salt and we are that light, then we would suppose from what Jesus is saying here that our righteousness will be greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees. But what was the righteousness that they had? If you look at verse 21 and follows, you could see these sayings. Like verse 21, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of the judgment." Now look at verse 27. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her in her heart, and lust after her, has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Verse 31. "Furthermore, it has been said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery." Verse 33, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king." Verse 38, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." And then verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you." So you see how Jesus has said, this is what you've heard. And that's what the Pharisees have taught. That's what the scribes have taught. This is what you've heard, but Jesus said this is the actual fulfillment of these things. So he says if your righteousness is going to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you've got to go beyond just what you have heard, and you've got to get to the heart of the matter. Now, when we look at this, the light that Jesus has called us to be, I'd like to ask you to turn over to verse 22 of chapter 6. Verse 22 of chapter 6. Because maybe you, like myself, sometimes look at your own life and you're like, man, I'm on that radar and I'm a light there, but I'm really far in the distance. I'm barely glimmering there. I'm barely able to be seen. And it may be because when we are that way that our perspective in life has just gotten off. If you look at verse 22 of Matthew 6, Jesus says, "The lamp of the body is what? The eye. If therefore your eye is good," the word good there in my notes at the bottom of the Bible just says clear or healthy. "If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" You ever wondered what Jesus meant by that? So he uses this human analogy of the eye, and what we see with our eye gives light to the body. Now we got to realize that Jesus is going beyond the physical here. Because there's times, like earlier in this chapter, where Jesus says to us that we're not to let one hand know what the other hand does. Okay, does he literally mean that? Does he literally mean that when your right hand does something good that you should hide your left hand behind your back so that it can't see what your right hand's doing? No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about not doing the things that we do before men to be seen by them. All right? So we are to do our charitable deeds in that way. So when we look at this analogy of the eye and the body, we've got to go beyond the physical and realize it's a spiritual thing that he's talking about. And our eyes allow us to be able to perceive things, right? To be able to see things and to understand them, to process them correctly. You see this situation and you realize that this might happen, so you make another decision. You see, you're walking through the gym and you see a wet floor sign on the floor. You see that sign, you read it, and you begin to think, all right, the floor may be wet. I need to be careful. Let's see if it's still wet or if it's dried now and I can walk on through. So we have this perception. It seems that Jesus is talking about that in this way, that our perceptions sometimes can get off, and because our perceptions get off, it changes the light that is within us. Here's what I mean by that. If you look at the context here of chapter 6, remember, y'all remember the three most important rules for interpretation of the Bible? Context, context, context. So, in chapter 6, Jesus begins by talking about pleasing God and doing good to please God. Take heed that he says there in verse 1 of chapter 6, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Okay? So he's talking about charitable deeds and doing them for the right purpose. Look at verse 5. The second thing he talks about is prayer. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. All right, the third thing is this, verse 16, fasting. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So we've seen three things so far, where their eye was messed up. Their eye was perceiving things wrongly. They went about doing good, and they did it not to please God, but to please man. So their perspective was off. They went about to pray, and they would pray loud and long prayers so that they'd be heard by men, and they'd position themselves on the corner of the street so that everybody could hear them pray. For that very reason, rather than praying to God, going to their closet and praying. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with public prayers, okay? There's public prayers and there's private prayers. If your only prayer life is public prayer, then your prayer life's messed up. Now, fasting is the same way. And then look at verse 19, where he's thinking about laying up treasures. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the fourth thing that we've seen in this text is that their perspective was messed up on their treasures and where true treasure is to be stored. So for us as Christians, do you think that ever happens to us? Where our perspective gets off? Where we begin to do things to please men? Where we begin to pray or fast? Or the work that we're doing with our hands and the money that we make? That our hope and our trust gets to be in those things, and that's really what we're working hard for and living for, rather than living for the Lord. And Jesus is really warning every one of us in this passage that we need to look at our eye to see what kind of light is coming in and what kind of light is in us. Because he ends that passage by saying, how great is that darkness? If the light that we think is coming into us spiritually is coming in, but it's actually darkness. He says, how great is that darkness? The thing we call light, but it's actually darkness. And then he goes on from there in verse 24, and he says, you can't serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other. And then he goes on, he says, do not worry. Because in verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In essence, that's what we could say is a righteousness that is greater than the scribes and the Pharisees. It is a righteousness that is seeking first the kingdom of God. And we trust that God's going to supply all that we need. So, all of this is possible for us. We are this salt and we are this light, not in and of ourselves, but remember, we are only that because of Christ and because of His sacrifice. Remember that Lord's Supper that we took earlier? It was a reminder to believers, and it was proclaiming to unbelievers that Christ has given His life, that His blood was shed. And through that sacrifice, we can be these things and are called to be these things in the world in which we live. So we got all these isms in the world. Racism, nationalism, socialism, on and on and on. Let us as a church remember there is one ism that trumps them all and that must be our calling card. And that is evangelism, gospelism. Because through that gospel, that is the way people become salt and light. And if this world will find peace, if individuals will find peace, it will not be through governments, it will not be through leaders, it will be through Christ and through Christ alone. If today you do not have peace with God, then I want you to know that through faith in Christ, you can have peace with God this morning. What you must do is respond to the message of the gospel, believing in what Christ has done. That's all I have for you this morning. Please join me in prayer, and then Brother Tanner will come and lead us in a closing song. Our Father in heaven, I thank You for Your word again. And I ask You, Lord, to take these basics of the Bible in being salt and light that You've called us to be and that You've made us to be through Your Son. And Lord, I pray that we'll be this. I pray, Father, that Your church, God, that You'd equip us and give us grace this week to be evangelists, to be that in our homes, Lord, to be that in our workplaces, Lord, to be that in our communities, among our neighbors. Lord, give us grace that we might speak the truth of Jesus, that our conversation might be with grace, seasoned with salt. And help us, Lord, if our eye is truly letting in darkness that we think is light. Oh, Lord, I pray You'll give us repentance and give us grace that we might see clearly with a clear eye and with a healthy eye. Father, I pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.